morning in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, we'll go into the word now. But before then, shall we just say a word of prayer? Our Father, we thank you today. We bless your holy name. We magnify your holy name. Thank you because you are a good God. Thank you because you are a great God. Thank you because you are the God that cannot be limited. Thank you because you are the God that cannot be restricted. Thank you because you are the God that cannot be stopped. Everything you set out to do, you achieve. Father, we go into your word now. We ask that you speak to us deeply. We ask that you speak to us gently. We ask that you speak to us from the heart of a father to his children again this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirit of the living God, touch my tongue with a coal of fire. Help me to deliver your word with precision and accuracy of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, make our hearts receptive ground for the seed of your word in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Have your way, Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, we continue from where we stopped last week. We have been dealing with this topic, those that change the world. 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 And today we're going to go into part two of that. And I'm going to be, I shared with us last week about three key things, three key principles of the people that change the world. And today I'll be adding two principles or two keys again in that light. The world is actually in dire need of men and women that will cause positive change. The world presently is undergoing so much transformation. Things are happening. Things are changing. And it's a wonderful time, a very good time for men to rise up and step in and cause positive change in their generation. Our theme scripture is taken from the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse 6. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse 6. It says, "And when they found them, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come either also." He said, these are the men that have turned the world upside down. They have shown up. He said, the men that have turned the world upside down have finally showed up. Hallelujah. May you be such a man in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 22, he said, making a difference. We are difference makers. We are not ordinary. So many things, there are limitations, there are restrictions all over the world because of the COVID virus. But you discover that so many people are coming up with genuine ideas. And so many people's ingenuity are coming to fore. Yesterday, we were watching a woman whose neighbor, a very elderly woman, is suffering from COVID-19. And the woman couldn't go out. And she, on her part, couldn't also go there so that she would not contact it. What did she do? She decided to train her dog to always take order from the woman. The old woman, elderly woman, writes the list of what she needed to buy, groceries and all that, hands it over to the dog. The dog brings it to the owner. The owner looks at the groceries, goes out, do the shopping, hand over the bag to the dog. The dog delivers it to that woman. That's ingenuity. In her own little way, in her own little corner, she has started changing the world. Hallelujah. And so we are looking at characteristics of several people that have come, that have changed this world. And we are looking at traits that make them unique. Traits that distinguish them in their generation. And some of the people we are looking at include, of course, Joseph, Daniel, Esther, Paul the Apostle, and of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, we are looking at him. 2,000 years after, more than 2,000 years after, the world has not recovered from its effects. Hallelujah. So we are looking at the properties or the characteristics. What are the things that make the men that change the world tick? The men that turn the world upside down. What were the things that were unique in their lives? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Alright, so today I continue from where we stopped last week. We measured three things last week. So today I move over straight to number four. And number four is what I call mentoring. Those that change the world have a mentor or a father figure over their lives. Those that change the world have a mentor or a father figure over their lives. Hallelujah. Let's look at one young man in the Bible. You know, every time I read this story, it's always very, very fascinating. Very, 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 very fascinating. Because this young man became king of one of the most powerful nations on earth as of that time. He became king at the age of 16. And you know what shocked me most about his story is that he was on that throne for 52 solid years and no man could depose him. He was there for 52 years from the age of 16. And that got me curious. Hallelujah. But let's quickly look at part of his story in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I read from verse 1 to 3. Those that change the world. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 1. It says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amariah. Verse 2. It said, he built Eloth and restored Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. But now let's look at something interesting in verse 3. The Bible says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. So this young man reigned for 52 years. How did he do it? What were the things that helped him to stay on that throne? If you read down his story, he was the first man that invented machines and engines in the Bible. You can Google him, you can see. He's the first one that invented engines that he used to wage war in his days. Very unique young man. But the question is this, what were the things that made him stand out in his generation, that made him change his world positively? The secret is not far-fetched. Let's quickly look down in verse 4 and verse 5 of 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Permit me to read it from the message translation. Look at it. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 4. The Bible says, he behaved well in the eyes of God, following in the footsteps of his father Amaziah. That's interesting. He didn't just arrive at success. He followed somebody's footsteps. He stepped into a place where somebody else has stepped. In other words, he stepped on the shoulder of a giant to become taller. Hallelujah. That's very interesting. But look at another thing he did. He didn't just have his father as a figure to look at as a mentor. He has a spiritual father. He has a backing of heaven. Now look at verse 5. I'm reading still from the message. Very interesting. Listen carefully. He said, he was a loyal seeker of God. Now listen to the part I love the most. He said, he was well trained by his pastor and teacher, Zechariah, to live in reverent obedience before God. And for as long as Zechariah lived, Uzziah lived a godly life, and God prospered him. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. That's interesting. That's unique. Hallelujah. The Bible says he has a teacher. He said he was well trained by his pastor. Hallelujah. He was well trained by his pastor. How many vagabonds do we have nowadays that don't listen to their pastors? I'm sure you're not one of them. Hallelujah. But look at it. Bible says he has a father, then he has a spiritual father. He said as long as he continued to receive instructions from his pastor, the Bible says something interesting there. The Bible says he prospered. God was with him. You ride on the shoulder of giants so that you can look further than them. There are men that have achieved what you are laboring for. The thing you are struggling hard to achieve. Some men have made mistakes. Some men have corrected it. Some men have passed through that stage in life. And they have arrived at the place of success. It is a wise thing to do, therefore, to key into them, to key into their wisdom, and then you look further, and then you see further. Now, let me show you something in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we keep looking at Jesus. When he was here, he was God. He was very powerful. He was this, he was that. But let me show you some secrets into the life of Jesus Christ himself that made him fit and that made him change our world. Now, let me show you this scripture in the book of John chapter 8. Verse 28. John chapter 8, verse 28. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto them. Jesus looked at them. He said, let me share my secrets with you. Let me look at you and give you one or two things that have made me thick and the things that have made me successful. And they kept quiet and they were looking at Jesus. Now listen carefully to what Jesus said. The Bible says, and when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself. Very interesting. He's about to release a mystery to them now. Listen. He said, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my father had taught me, I speak this thing. You know, they kept wondering, where did he hear all these things from? How come he speaks with so much power? Where did he know these things from? This Jesus, he didn't go to school. But why? How come he speaks with this authority? Hallelujah. And guess what? He showed them. He said, look, I don't speak by myself. It makes life very easy. When you have the words of a father to coach to situations and circumstances, when you can copy from a man that has gone ahead of you so that you can make positive strike, quick strike, faster, and travel the journey of life faster than him. Hallelujah. It is only a dangerous man that has nobody to look onto. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My own personal spiritual father told me something. He said, any man that has no man over him that can tell him to shut up and sit down is a dangerous man. And is an accident going somewhere to happen. May that not be your story. This is Jesus talking here. Look at what he said in verse 38 of John chapter 8. He said, I speak that which I have seen with my father. He said, ye do that which ye have seen of your father. He said, that's why your results are poor. He said, because the devil is your father, you are copying from a wrong source. So when you copy from a wrong source, when you copy from a wrong father, you have wrong results. He said, I am doing the supernatural. I am doing the miraculous because of the kind of father that I listen to. He said, so my life became very easy. Why? Because of the man that I copy, because of the man I listen to. Hallelujah. Those that change the world have an authority figure over them. They didn't travel the journey of life by themselves. They travel it with the consciousness that there is a man with them that has traveled that path with them. They just need to key in and follow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I saw that in their lives. Hallelujah. Let me quickly show you Esther. Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Esther chapter 2, verse 7. The Bible says, and he brought up Adaza, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. Esther. Somebody brought up Esther. Now listen carefully. He said, for she had neither father nor mother. Hallelujah. You might no longer have a father. You might no longer have a mother. Fits in the realm of the physical. But the truth of the matter is that in the realm of the spirit, you must not be fatherless. Hallelujah. In the realm of the spirit, you must not be fatherless. Hallelujah. My spiritual father said something very interesting. He said, you are permitted to be fatherless physically by force. The devil can snatch your physical father, he can snatch your physical mother. Death can take them untimely. It might not be their wish for them to go, but spiritually, if you are alive and you don't have an authority over you, it is your choice. And so if you fail, it is your choice. Hallelujah. But look at this lady, very pretty girl, an orphan. The Bible says, and the maid was fair and beautiful. I'm sure if so many people have the beauty and the intelligence of Esther, they automatically become an authority to themselves. They no longer listen to anybody. They no longer see anybody that have gone ahead of them as anything. They feel they are smarter. They feel they are wiser than every other person. Hallelujah. Despite her fairness, despite her beauty, somebody need to step in and announce this for her. Now look at what happened. Who Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Took for his own daughter. I'm glad to let you know that your spiritual, your physical parents love you. They see you in the realm of the physical, but your spiritual father, your mentor, sees you in destiny. So when they know you in destiny, they help you to become all that God has packaged on your inside to become. Now listen to verse 8. The Bible says, Esther chapter 2 verse 8. So it came to pass, when the king commanded and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Susan, the palace, to the custody of Agag, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Agag, keeper of the women. Hallelujah. I read the commentary, and the commentary said there were about 600 maidens, beautiful, pretty ladies, that went for that same competition. Pretty ladies. Hallelujah. Because the Bible told us, in the book of Esther chapter 1, the Bible says, the kingdom of this king, Xerxes, reigned from India to Ethiopia. Several countries, about 100 and something countries, were under his authority. So men of nobles, so many people brought their beautiful daughters to participate in this beauty competition. But the Bible says they all came. These girls came. They came from different places. But something interesting about Esther is this. The Bible says, her mentor brought her. She was brought. She was introduced to the palace by a mentor. Hallelujah. So one thing that is unique in the life of men that have changed the world is that they have an authority figure over them. Learn that, never forget it. Alright, let me share one more point with you today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the fifth point I would like to share with you, very critical. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 3. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. It says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Very interesting. What is my next point? My next point is this. Men that change the world, they are men of superior quality and high standards. They are men of superior qualities and high standards. Men of superior quality and high standards. If you want to merge superior quality and high standards together, you can say they are men of excellence. They are men of what? Of excellence. They are men of excellence. Superior quality and high standards. Hallelujah. Let me quickly show you this scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. Proverbs 22, 29. It says, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before ordinary men. Ordinary men. Hallelujah. These are men of superior quality. These are men that have changed our world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I was reading over the night, and my attention was drawn to the story of Watercar. Story of Watercar. I'm sure some of us must have seen it. It's all over the news in the US now. Who is Watercar? Watercar happened to be a 20-year-old man, just about last week or thereabout. He got a new job. And then when he got a new job, he had a car. And after getting a new job, he needed to go to that new job for the very first time. He got a job as a mover. People that help people to pack things from an old house to a new house, or from one place to another place. That was the kind of job Watercar got. And when he got this job, so he decided to go overnight, so that when he travels all the way to that place, he can get there early in the morning. But unfortunately for Watercar, as he was about to move, his car developed a fault. His car completely broke down. So when his car broke down, this became a mess. He started calling friends, calling people. Tomorrow I have a new job. And I don't want to miss my first day at work. He started calling all his friends. Please, can you help me? Can you just lend me your car to go to work? And everybody seems to be busy with their own cars. Hallelujah. Then he got a time, said, no, I will not go late to work. I will not go late to work. So he picked his Google map and he keyed it in the location of the new job. When he keyed it in, Google told him that if you are to go for this job and you are going to trek there, it will take you 8 hours. And he has to be there by 7:30 the following day. And lo and behold, this was already night, evening. So what did he decide to do? He said, no problem. Rather than go late for that job, I will trek there. Rather than go late for that job, I will trek there. Hallelujah. He said, rather than go late, I will trek there. So he decided to trek. So he rested a little around 8:30. Then he took a little lunch and then a little dinner. And then he slept. 12 a.m., he woke up. He said he picked the kitchen knife and kept it in case he's attacked by an animal on the road. He kept it, he picked a golf ball, and then he started trekking. 12 a.m. he started trekking, because he calculated that 8 hours, then at least, give and take, by 8 p.m., the following 8 a.m. in the morning, he will be there. So he began to trek. He began to trek through a very thick forest, through a jungle. He kept on trekking. Around 2 a.m., he got to a particular place, and some policemen stop. He was tired. He said his legs were giving way. And then he was very, very tired. So he decided to rest a little. So two policemen accosted him and they asked him, Mr. Man, who are you? Where are you going? And then he introduced himself and told them that he's actually, I love the way he put it. He told the policemen, he said, sirs, if I tell you what I'm doing here, you will not believe. And they said, we would like to know. And he told them, he said, I'm going for my first job. They said, you are not serious. Which first job? He said, I'm going for my first job, but my car broke down, so I have to trek. I don't want to go late. And you know, they were moved with compassion. They said, okay, can we just give you a lift for about 4 miles? That's about 32 kilometers we are talking about. And then they gave him a lift. And then when they gave him a lift, they dropped him at a nearby church. And they told him that, why don't you just stay in this church, sleep overnight? This area is very dangerous. Sleep. And then in the morning, you quickly get out and you start walking. And he thanked them. And they bought him tea, stuff, like coffee. And then he drank it and he rested. But he said, something kept telling him that, Mr. Man, the way you are so tired, if you continue sleeping, you will still go late. So he rose up early. Around 4, he rose up and he began to trek again. Now he began to run. Because he was of the opinion that if care is not taken, he might end up going late. And he made up his mind not to go late. So he started trekking and running. Trekking, running, trekking, running. So when it was around 4 a.m., after 4, he got to the main road. Now he has entered the city. But he still has close to 3 hours to trek to those people's houses. Very interesting. So he sat down by the roadside to rest a little. And as he sat down there, another policeman came and he introduced himself. As he was introducing himself to the new policeman, the policeman smiled. The policeman said, "I've heard about you. My colleagues told me about you." He said, "Can I just give you a lift?" And he smiled and said, "Okay, no problem." So the new policeman gave him a lift and dropped him off by the house of the person where he was supposed to do the work. Two of his other colleagues that were in that city were supposed to meet up with him. So he got there. The woman, as he knocked the door, the woman opened that door. As she entered, she introduced this. The woman said, "I already heard about you, Carl." Eh? He was shocked. He said, "Who told you?" He said, "The policeman that dropped you called me and told me about you." The woman offered him drinks, a bed, and told him to rest a little bit while he waits for his colleague. He said, "No, that he will rather start the work." So by 6:30, he started moving things, started packing things, started moving things, started packing things. And by around 7:30, his two colleagues came and they joined hands and moved the woman successfully to the new place. And we thought that would be the end of the story. But you know, the woman was so moved to tears because when they got to the place, his two other colleagues left. He stayed back to play basketball with three of the woman's children. And the woman was wondering, "Where did you get so much energy?" And he said, "Well, don't worry about that." He played basketball with them. And then he left and went back to his own place. And the woman launched this story on Facebook. She brought up the story on Facebook. And then she decided to raise an appeal form of $2,000 so that they can help him to fix his car. So the woman raised it. And guess what happened? Under 24 hours, the woman has raised $44,000 for car. $44,000. That's amazing. That's amazing. But as the story didn't end there, the following day, his overall boss gave him a call and said, "Carl, I heard what happened. As a new man, I'm so impressed. Where can we meet?" I said, "Okay, let's meet at so-and-so restaurant. I will be there." That's the restaurant where he does a second work. He's a student, mind you. And then he met there, and the overall boss came, and everybody gathered. He didn't know. He entered into a realm that he never believed. The boss gave him his own personal SUV car. He gave it to him as a dash. He said, "This car will do well in your hands because I trust you with it." And the man dashed him. He said, "I love your spirit." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm still on point number two because I gave you that story because I quickly want to give you 5 points that you need to understand about men of superior qualities so that you can imbibe these qualities and begin to run your life on these principles. Number one, I'm giving you 5 qualities of a superior man. Hallelujah. The things that drives a man of excellence. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, "Seest thou a man that is excellent in his work? He shall stand before kings, not before ordinary men." Now, what's point number one? The men of superior quality are always punctual and on time for their meetings and appointments. The men of superior qualities are always punctual and on time for their meetings and their appointments. Hallelujah. There is nothing that can stop them. There is nothing that the enemy can put along their way. You know, now there is restriction everywhere. People are stay at home because of the COVID and all that. But men of superior qualities, they are not just sleeping at home. They are already breaking new grounds. They are doing new things. They are meeting appointments, taking targets. You know, they are saying many people should work from home. And everybody is saying they are working from home. Working from home. Hallelujah. But I've come to discover that many people are working from home from Facebook. Watching Facebook and Twitter feeds. Hallelujah. That's not working from home. Praise the Lord. But meet appointments. Be real. Hallelujah. They don't go late. Every barrier bows before them. Every obstacle, they give way. Give way before them. They get to their destination. Hallelujah. Number two, qualities of these men. They don't let a superior correct them twice on a subject. Hallelujah. They are fast learners. Hallelujah. These men are so unique. You don't correct them twice on a particular subject. It's not possible. Once you tell them this thing is wrong, they learn it, they imbibe it, and they move ahead in life from there. Hallelujah. These are men of superior qualities. They don't tell them the same thing over and over and over again. When they keep telling you the same thing over and over, when will be the time for you to learn a new thing? When are you going to learn something new? Hallelujah. Men of excellence, they learn very fast. They learn on their feet and they run with it. Number three, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Men of excellence are excellent at their jobs, and they cannot be faulted on their jobs. I love that. You don't fault them on their job. They know it. They do it exceptionally well. A typical example is Daniel. Hallelujah. You know, they said, "Lest the king love him. He's a foreigner. He's not from here. How come he just came up and he has become our prime minister? We hate him. Let's look for a way. Let's set him up in the place of work." Hallelujah. So they decided to plan for him. Hallelujah. So they came back after some days. They said, "Look, we cannot find fault in this Daniel." He said, "When it comes to his work, he's an excellent worker. There is nothing on his job that we can fault him with." Wow. Hallelujah. That's a unique man. That's a man of superior quality. He didn't just give out superior quality yesterday. He gives out superior quality consistently, persistently, on a daily basis. There was no way they could fault him. They said, "So how do we fault him?" Okay, let's say he should not go to church again. Hallelujah. That was why they had to set him up, because they, concerning his religion, concerning his faith, because they couldn't set him up based on the work of his hand. Do an excellent work. Exceptional in all that you do. Number four. They give their best shot and best effort to life. They give their best shot and their best effort to life. Everything they do it excellently well. Hallelujah. They give their best shot. They give their best effort to it. If they want to eat, hallelujah, they give their best shot to eat it. If they want to preach, they give their best shot to it. If you ask them to sell pure water, they give their best shot to it. Every job they do, they leave a trademark. Every job they do, they are trailblazers. Hallelujah. Their best effort, the best of their energy, they give it to what they do. The best of their attention. These are men that change the world. Hallelujah. And number five, as I'll be rounding up now. Number five. I love this quality about them. I love this number five. Now listen carefully. They can start from anywhere and still get to their dreams. Wow. I love this about them. They can start from anywhere and still get to their dreams. You know, God told Abraham. He said, "Abraham and God, you know, that time they had a chat and they began to talk. And Abraham looked at himself. He was already 70 years old. How will he arrive at destiny? How will he fulfill destiny? How will his dreams come to manifestation? He's already 70 years old. But you know, God gave him a very little secret that changed his life. God told him, he said, "Abraham, from where you are, lift up your eyes." God didn't say, "Okay, go to this place or go to that place, then look." He said, "From this place where you are, lift up your eyes and begin to see." These are men of superior quality. Whatever you hand over to them, wherever life meets them, they start from there and they pursue their dream to a logical conclusion. You don't believe me? Have you ever read the story of Joseph? He started from prison. He ended up prime minister. Have you read about Daniel? A slave. Oh, a slave in a foreign country. Not even a slave in his own country. He ended up as prime minister. All about Esther, we have looked at her earlier on. A slave. And not just a slave, an orphan slave. You know, that's pitiable, of course. That's bad. What a combination. An orphan that is a slave. But she started from there and ended up as the most powerful woman on earth in her days. You know, last week we were talking about what Iran was trying to do. Recently in February, Iran was trying to bring down the burial ground of Esther and Mordecai. And U.S. rose up. And Jerusalem, Israel also rose up. I said, "No, it will not happen." Can you imagine that? This is how many thousands of years after they had died and have gone. But she became the wife of the most powerful man on earth. As a matter of fact, the most powerful woman on earth in her day. What of Jesus? Beautiful story. What of Jesus? Jesus started from where? Manger. He started from a manger. Hallelujah. He became a carpenter. But he ended up as the savior of the whole world. 2,000 years after he has gone, physically, we are still here talking about him. The whole world gathers to talk about Jesus. We can never stop talking about this man, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is God. He started from, you know, he is a king of kings. And naturally, you would expect the king of kings to be born in maybe Hopkins Hospital in the U.S., of course. You expect him to be born in one of the best hospitals. But he said, "No, let me show you how to run life. Let me start my life from a manger so that you can know that no matter how low, there are so many of you here that they didn't born you in a manger. You were not given birth to next to a goat or a cow. You are even born in a very good hospital, and here you are complaining about your life. Why is my life like this? Where is my life? No. You are not a man of superior quality. Whatever you give to a man of superior quality, he takes it over, turns it around. He gives it his best shot and make the best out of it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I read the story of a man who was employed as a air hostess in a particular airline. I'm sure some of you must have read the story, but guess what? Within the space of 10 years, that same host, air host that was used to serve people food inside the airplane, did what? He started flying that same plane as the lead pilot in the space of 10 years. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As I round up today, let me tell you a story about Matthew Flamini. I'm sure some of us that are Arsenal fans, you might still remember him. Many people might never know his name. When you mention his name, many people don't know him. Why? Because he was not one of the most talented footballers in his days. I don't even think he was average. I remember watching him play. Most of the time when he comes in, everybody starts grumbling. We start wondering why Arsene Wenger has decided to bring this guy to the field. But guess what? Every penny they paid him, they didn't pay him as high as so many players that they are paying currently. And so many players in his days, they didn't pay him like that. But guess what? Every money they gave to him, he started gathering it. He started gathering it. He started gathering it. He knew he was not that talented like so many people. But he gathered all his money, he put them into an investment. And guess what? Currently, he's about the richest footballer in the whole world. And it will shock you to know that he has decided to buy Arsenal Football Club. That same club. Can you believe that? You can start from anywhere and still get to your dream. Men of superior quality. These are the things they did with their lives. I'm glad to let you know that you are not low. You are not disadvantaged. Your color is not a disadvantage. Your color, your race, where you are born from, your parents are not a disadvantage. We have seen orphans rise to prominence. We have seen laymen, slaves, become powerful men because they chose to become. The Lord bless you. Thank you for listening today. Some other time, we continue from here. The Lord bless you. But why not bow down your heads as you pray to God this morning? I want you to talk to Him. The Lord God Almighty, I want to change my world. I want to be a man of positive influence over this planet. I don't want to come as if I just came. I want to come with power. I want men to know that indeed I was sent to this planet by heaven. Heaven don't make people that are useless. Why not begin to pray? The Lord, every quality I need to become a man of excellence, every quality I need to become a man of impact, a man that makes a difference in their generation, I imbibe it from today in the mighty name of Jesus. Open your mouth as you begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace. I receive grace. I receive grace. In the mighty name of Jesus, I receive grace. Why not talk to God? The Lord, I receive grace to take action. Necessary action. Necessary action. Necessary action. In the name of Jesus, I receive grace to take the necessary actions. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, I receive grace, Lord. I receive grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I receive grace to take the necessary actions that will make me a man of impact in my life, in my generation. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I receive grace. Lord, I receive grace. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you because Bible says the entrance of your word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. Lord, thank you for the simplicity of your word. We therefore decree that, Lord, we receive grace this morning to imbibe them and make them our daily lifestyle. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we decree that we will be men of impact, difference makers in our generation. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let the anointing of the game changer rest upon us from today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Our transmission will still continue on this media. Over time, we'll keep you posted. Our next meeting will be on Wednesday. Time is 5 p.m. And then next Sunday, by the grace of God, by the same time, 8 a.m. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And for members of this assembly, ICG, for most of you that are online, we're still going to share this on the church WhatsApp group. I want you to know that Tuesday is our end of the month prayer and fasting day. That's on Tuesday. Please don't miss it. We'll meet by 5 p.m. on this same channel to pray together and then to break our fast. And for members of ICG, I have a specific instruction from God for you. This night by 12 a.m., we are going to have a communion. I'm going to tell you what that communion is going to be all about. Exactly 12 a.m., we're going to break bread, and I will show you what it's going to do in your life. The Lord strengthen you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. And please, for many of us, COVID-19 is real. COVID-19 is still out there, but we know we are secure. But despite that, we still listen to the advices of our experts. Hallelujah. So please wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Observe social distancing. Hallelujah. I know you like to hug, but for now, please, let's put a pause on the hugs and the handshakes. Hallelujah. You can bend and greet. The Lord bless you. You can use your hand sanitizers. Please don't forget to do that. Don't choke yourself on drugs. Don't start using chloroquine or hyperchloroquine, please. Hallelujah. I learned people are busy eating bitter cola now, using garlic and all that. Please listen carefully to the advices of your doctor. Don't have a disease that you cannot treat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then for some of us, hand sanitizers are expensive. I did a little research and I came to discover that bulk of what we have in our perfumes are actually alcohol. So you can actually put your pets on your palm and rub it, spray it on your pants and rub it if you don't have access to hand sanitizer. And please, anytime you are going to kitchen to cook, make sure you wash your hand because of the effect of the alcohol. We have seen people getting their hands burnt. The Lord will help us in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. For all our members that you have received ministry from us, we want to pay your tithes, your offerings. You know all the channels that are available. The Lord strengthen you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. All right, let's take our prophetic prayer for the day and for the week. I'm taking two scriptures and we're going to pray them simultaneously. The first scripture is Isaiah chapter 30 verse 31. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 31. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 31. I read. It says, "For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod." He said, "For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down." Who is the Assyrian? The Assyrian is your enemy. And in this case, COVID-19. And every other enemy that has been harassing and intimidating your life. I want you to raise up your voice as you begin to pray. The Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, bring your voice to bear on my situation. Bring your voice to bear on the affairs of this planet. In the name of the Lord Jesus, prayers in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I raise my voice this morning. And I ask the Lord, bring your voice to bear on my situation. Bring your voice to bear on my life. Bring your voice to bear on my destiny. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, bring your voice to bear on my life. Bring your voice to bear on my destiny. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, bring your voice to bear. Bring your voice to bear in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, bring your voice to bear on every area of my life and destiny in the mighty name of Jesus. Why not begin to pray that Lord God Almighty, let your voice beat down every Assyrian. Let your voice beat down COVID-19. Let it beat it down before me, before the nations, before my family, before this country in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, let your voice silence and shut down COVID-19. Bring your voice to bear. Let your voice silence the Assyrian in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let your voice beat him down. Let your voice beat him down. Let your voice scatter his operations in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Bring your voice to bear in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And now the second scripture. Take these scriptures. We're going to share it on the church WhatsApp page. I want you to take these scriptures, write them down, and continue to use them to minister grace and communicate life to yourself all through the week. What is the second scripture? Job chapter 34, verse 29. Job chapter 34, verse 29. It said, "When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him? Whether it be done against a nation, and against a man only." It doesn't matter what the enemy is doing against our land. It doesn't matter what the enemy is doing against this planet. The Bible says, when God gives us quietness, who can make trouble? I want us to begin to pray. The Lord, we command quietness over our life. We command quietness on this planet. We command quietness in our businesses. We command quietness in our career. We command quietness in our families. In the name of the Lord Jesus, shall we begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command quietness. Quietest in our health. Quietest in our businesses. Quietest in our career. Quietness in our family, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we command quietness. We command quietness in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. Another word for quietness is silence. Why not begin to pray? The Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, silence every trouble. Silence every Assyria in our lives and destinies in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, shut down their operations in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever the enemy represents to every one of us, to any one of us here today, we command them to be shut down. Silence them in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, give us quietness by all means. Give us quietness by all means. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, give us quietness by all means. Give us quietness by all means. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Baba, give us quietness by all means, Lord. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Give us quietness by all means. Give us quietness by all means. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Why not begin to pray? The Lord, put an end to every troublemaker. Bring an end to every trouble and every troublemaker. Whatever they represent, every demon, every principality, every power rising up, every altar rising up against this planet, we decree the Lord today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, put an end to them. Shut them down for good. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, everlasting Father. And finally, why not begin to pray? The Lord, hide not your face from me. Hide not your face from me. Let me behold you. In the midst of all this trouble, that I will see you, that I will know you better. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, in the midst of all this, that I will see you. In the midst of all this, that I will know you. Lord, hide not your face from me. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. All right, let me prophesy it into your life. I stand as an oracle of the Most High this morning over these hours. I stand in the anointing of my calling, and I speak into your life, and I decree it, and I declare that in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, let the voice of God be brought to bear in your situation in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let the voice of God shut down every Assyria that is troubling your life in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lord God Almighty, let the voice of heaven shut down every COVID-19 oppression in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, give us quietness on every side. The Bible says, your peace you have given unto us. Lord God Almighty, we lean on the authority of your peace. Let there be peace on earth in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray for all our medical personnel. We release your word for them. We ask for divine security. Lord, hide them in the hollow of your hands in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everyone, scattered all over the world, listen to me right now. I pray for you that in the midst of this crisis, the Lord will keep you. The Lord will preserve you. The Lord will protect you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I decree this week will be a week of wonders for you. This week will be a week of testimonies. You will not cry. You will not sorrow. You will not cry. You will not sorrow. I decree, when you go out this week, you will return. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, I prophesy into your life, and I decree by the mandate and the authority of heaven that this week you will not die. I decree I will not bury any of you, and this week I will not be buried. The hand of God is upon you. The favor of the Almighty overshadow you. Go and shine. Go and prosper. Come back with testimonies. It is well with you on every side. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord honor you. Shalom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Please, well. Thank you.